You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, our Friday morning together, which I always look forward to. And as you know, we like to put a comment on the weather, and it's gray out there, but the big trees are very green, and as we locals like to call them, BFTs. Now, don't get alarmed on that. It's big fir trees.
Well,
and we got lots of them out there.
Well, yes, and we get rain for 8 months of the year, and that's why our trees are 250 feet tall.
Right.
Yes, a temperate rainforest.
Yeah.
And we've had nice
rainforest.
Right, and we've had hot weather. So in the low 30s, 86, 87 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
So summer has been here. It may return.
I'm sure it will before the season is over.
As we like to kick off the show with listener questions, we have one from Michael. Hi, Bob. Hi, Jim. Market Watch headline, Wall Street expects the Treasury Department to start ramping up its roughly year-old buyback program later this month with an aim to coax longer duration Treasury yields lower. Bob, I'm confused. Treasuries are being sold by the U.S. Treasury to fund the budget deficit, but to lower interest rates, the Treasury is buying back its own Treasury notes. Bob, this seems like a monetary contradiction. It would seem that the long overdue recession would ultimately cause a flight to safety into U.S. Treasuries and lower yields anyway. Bob, assuming nature always takes its course, then what are they fighting?
Oh, it's one team of economists thinking they can control interest rates, another team of economists trying to get the best return for monies raised, and it's all a lot of nonsense. The market forces set interest rates. That's it. Now, the Federal Reserve's main job is to look like it's running the show. So then it always has a problem when short rates start to turn up. But we're in kind of a nothing here at the moment because, of course, short rates have gone, like Treasury bills, have gone up with the boom, and they've sort of paused. But the T-bill rate is not heading down, no trend there. So there's not going to be any Fed cuts like so many people are calling for. And here's one that just is unbelievable, is this business, the widespread belief that Fed cuts will really help a boom. And I just simply say, you go back 100 years, and short rates, such as Treasury bills, go up in the boom, and they go down in the bust. So you don't want to have the Fed lowering rates because it'll be associated with a bust. And then also, the T-bill rate, once it breaks down, and it hasn't, it's just hanging there, but once it breaks down, it's going to be another one of those things where it heads to zero. And we've done a chart with the S&P against the T-bill rate. And I think it was 2008. There's a segment there of 6 months where it shows a tremendous plunge in the S&P. At the same time, there was a proportionate decline in short rates. So there's a myth out there about rates, and I hope we've been able to answer the question.
Michael says he has another question for you. Have we seen the low in the U.S. dollar, and is a new bull market in the senior currency now beginning?
Hey, now that's a good one. Yeah, the washout a couple of weeks ago, that was a really high-powered washout. And on Ross's work, it was, technically way oversold. So we've had the bounce and the DX, and I think it could correct. To my mind, if it sort of trades sideways here for a while, it can work towards the base. Now, one of the things you get in a great bubble from our historical work is that the senior currency, now the U.S., now the DX, but has a tendency to weaken a little as the boom concludes. And then it turns up, and then it becomes, as a phrase I like to use, chronically firm. Drives everybody crazy. Well, we're not there yet, but we've had a very oversold, and it could be working on a trend change. We just have to allow it more time. And the world does not like a strengthening senior currency.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy and taking a look at some of the headlines he'd like to talk about. The first one from the China Observer. China is broke. World's highest highway unfinished, high-speed rail projects abandoned nationwide.
Yep, that I think is an important one. And of course, it was after the 1873 bubble when major financial figure Vanderbilt said that they had no right to be building railroads from nowhere to nowhere. And that was the big rage in the 1873 bubble, the railroads. And whereas the 1825 bubble, the big rage was canal stocks, transportation. Anyways, yeah, it looks like China has the boom in China has really stalled out.
And speaking of high-speed rail being abandoned, they've spent $14-15 billion on high-speed rail in California. Not a single track put down yet.
Yeah.
And so President Trump has put a stop to it.
Yep. He's just said no, and the governor of California can't believe it because it's been a boondoggle for all kinds of departments, I guess, for 50 years or something like that. No, this Trump putting a stop on that is very good stuff.
Headline, Putin seizes $50 billion from oligarchs as Russia's economy is bankrupt.
Oh, yeah. Now, this one is really serious. Putin obviously is out of money, and he's taking a slam at the oligarchs who made so much money. And then also, crude oil prices lately have been all over the place, but we're thinking that after September, crude oil can head down. Now, Russia, outside of oil, the industrial commodity economy just doesn't generate enough tax revenue. So it makes the Russian government very dependent on crude oil prices. So if you get the next washout in crude oil prices, it's going to put an end to Putin's career. Now, you can take a chart of crude oil prices, say back to 2012. On each of the important highs for crude oil, Putin does something warlike, like 2012 was Chechen or something like that. And then, but it plots out nicely that, and even the excursion into into Ukraine. That took place on a strong rally for crude. So he was thinking, I got money to do it. And then crude has been choppy, big choppy ever since. So it would please the world, I think, to have Putin go broke and the electoral or the public in Russia throw him out of office. I would welcome that.
Do you think that would ever happen here? That the billionaires like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk could have a little, I guess they call it the Cyprus haircut to their bank accounts?
Musk is, of course, I guess his main position is in Tesla, and it's going to go south forever. I mean, the electric car, electric vehicle was just a fad. And governments got on the bandwagon and promoting it. It's just it is just plain uneconomic, impractical. So, anyways, if the EVs are heading south, well, Musk is going to have a loss of net asset value. And here's another one: our Prime Minister Carney recently published his list of holdings. And it was hundreds of them, but essentially in the green climate crisis game. And I think that fad has peaked. And as the sector rolls over, I think Carney's going to lose a lot of net asset value as a whole. I couldn't believe the list of different positions he was in, all resting upon the mania for climate hysteria. So there's going to be some interesting events ahead of us.
From Zero Hedge, the U.S. dollar has just had its worst start to a year since 1973.
Yeah, I like that. When the guys sit down and look at the chart and say, oh, yeah, it's the worst since 1970, that is something. And as I said, that slam down on the DX became exceptionally oversold.
Wasn't that during the oil crisis?
When, 1973. There was oil crisis. That was the first oil crisis.
OPEC crisis in the Middle East, and the Arab nations were cutting off oil.
Oh yeah.
Plus, I think 1972-73 is when the size of American-built cars peaked. Everything was a boat.
Oh, yeah, they were getting about 8 miles per gallon, U.S. gallons. But, those big pigs were inefficient, and because gasoline prices were relatively cheap in real terms, so people could drive around with very inefficient cars. Now, that's all changed now. Today's modern gasoline engine is a work of art, and for efficiencies and emissions and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I remember back in the early 80s, the smog in Vancouver was so bad. Some days you couldn't see across the street. It was just a blue wall.
Yeah, well, that was even more enhanced in the basin of Los Angeles. Oh, God, they really had their, what they call it, smog or something. Right?
Well, yeah, smog. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Now, from whatsupwiththat.com, CNN analyst shocked Americans aren't afraid of media-created climate crisis.
Yeah, I thought that was a good overview on it. What's up with that is probably one of the better climate sites out there. You want to read those guys. They're pretty good. So anyways, a good headline.
From Breitbart Business Digest, American economic optimism rises to highest level in years.
Yeah, we're in a boom. And the boom is, we look for the good times to run into the mid-year. And then we got good times here, and the good times are kind of getting overbought. So somewhere in maybe September, this falters. Now, the other thing we're going to point out is that if there's going to be a credit crisis, they are usually discovered in the fall.
Yes.
That is consistent going way back, and that then is. And then also, if you take the great financial bubbles, as they occurred in London, most of them peaked in May, and the first one, the South Sea Bubble of 1720, it peaked in June. So that's, I think, what's behind the old saying about sell in May and go away. Because they all peaked in May or June and dithered around in the summer and then crashed in the fall.
Well, from Bloomberg, and in an ominous sign, I can't say that word.
You want me to say it for you?
Yes.
An ominous sign.
Sellers are vanishing as U.S. stocks smash record. In other words, people are just buying, nobody's selling.
That's right. And also, it always happens that the people who are, even professional traders who are short too early, they end up being forced into buying as they cover their short positions. And it is, oh, it's classic, classic stuff, old as the hills, so, yeah.
Now, does that set up exactly what you were just talking about, where with everybody buying, nobody selling, does that mean we're going to peak out maybe late August, September?
It's sort of happening now. Ross, on his chart, we've had a terrific surge. So we'll see, and it's a tiny little, there's only been time for a little correction. So we'll just see what it does. But as I've said, sell in May and go away.
Now, from the Wall Street Journal, White House seizes on Fed renovations as an opening to fire Jerome Powell as the head of the Fed.
Yeah, Trump has hinted that he doesn't want him on duty, and the reason for that is that the Fed is not cutting interest rates. And here's where Trump is going along with the beliefs that a Fed cut will help the markets. But no, I mentioned it earlier in the show here that T-bill rates go up in the boom and down in the bust. Now, they're not going, they're off their highs, but they're not heading down. So, down in T-bill rates is bad. It is just plain bad. So, we'll see how it all goes. As a matter of fact, I'm working on an essay, and I titled it, An Open Letter to President Trump. And it works on just what I've been saying now about short-dated interest rate going up in the boom and down in the bust. So you don't want to call for short rates going down, because when they do go down, it means the boom is over.
Well, American inflation numbers are up. People are blaming President Trump's tariffs for that. How does the Fed keep inflation control apart from using interest rates?
Well, the Fed talks about inflation control, but the only thing it knows to do, and the only thing it does, is ease credit. Because it thinks there are perilous times unless they keep easing credit. So the Fed is part of the problem. And the popular intuition that interest rates going down will be helpful is just plain wrong.
Well, Fox News has a headline, Can Fed Chair Powell Make It Through the Weekend?
Oh, yeah, they're out to get him, but as they point out, it's a blunder by Trump. And it's what most economists in Wall Street, in academic life or wherever they are, they all believe that cutting rates is a good thing. And they never look at the empirical side of it when anybody can look at it. These days, you can bring up interest rates anywhere, and you're going to go back a couple hundred years, 300 years. And when short rates go down, it's bad times.
In Japan, if low interest rates, zero or negative rates work, their economy would be booming, and it's been contracting since the 80s when they ruled the stock markets.
Yeah, they had a very unique boom in 1980, and they were buying the world. I remember a guy came in and bought Pebble Beach Golf Course for $500 million. Then he had to sell it about 6 months later on a margin call. So that was a fabulous boom, all generated out of Tokyo.
Yeah, but again, negative or zero interest rates don't provide the economic boom you think they would or might.
Yep, that's good proof, Jim.
Bob, anything else you think we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, you know, the gold sector. The gold stocks are in the early stages of a multi-year bull market. Rising real prices for gold are a feature of the post-bubble world, and what it does is the real price goes up, the gold miners make more money, and gold gets into the system and begins to reliquify things when all of the paper garbage is getting marked down to zero. So it works wonderfully well, and we're looking now. I also do gold divided by the CRB, the commodity index, and we assume that the commodity index is a proxy for mining costs. So if mining costs are falling relative to the bullion price, the industry's profit margins are improving. And you don't need the story about, dollar down, gold up. That goes out of the equation. It's just that the real price goes up, and it enhances the profitability of gold mining. And it does it on the Great Depressions following a great financial bubble.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Good to be with you, Jim, and we look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.